Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for being part of this study. We are here trying to prepare a people for, they would say, the time of the end. That's where we are. We're at the time of the end. Okay. We have been studying and looking at things, and I went up on my www website to get an email to see if anyone emailed me who's listening. Got zero. I really don't know what's up with these people that's listening. Nobody sends me anything. Oh, I don't know what's the deal. Am I not helping people or what? I don't know. But that's life in the fast lane. Just accept it and move on. Those that are following along don't have the book. I guess it's your fault. But anytime you decide you want to order the book, get in contact with us at www.peopleofcolor1.com. If this is Feed Your Soul, if it isn't, then I guess turn it off. All right. Okay, next. We have been going through what do we call it? A search for truth with Dr. Emmanuel. Okay, what are we searching for? The truth. Why? Because the truth will set you free. Amen. Now, the truth will set you free. So, we have been looking at subject matters that we can study together. I have lots of them. So this week and last week, we'll be looking at the 144, simply due to the fact that many people don't understand 144, and there's many interpretations and ideologies out there. So we're just looking for the truth, because that's what we do, search for the truth, teach you how to search for truth and balance. Okay, so we got the Jehovah's Witnesses saying that their group is going to be 144,000 coming out of them, which is not different than what the the Mormons say. It's no different than what the Seventh-day Adventists say, which is no different than what the Church of the Latter-day Saints. Which is no different than the Universal Church, that they call the Catholic Church. So everybody claims to be the new people that it will take. And I assume in the Christian world, the religious of right, the Bible Belt, the people who are in, what do we call these guys? Sanctioned scholars, most if not all, teach, even Church of God, I think, Church of God of Christ, something like that, whatever, that the European Jews will be the 144,000. So, having all of these viewpoints, how do you know if any of them are correct? But in my view, none of them are correct about that. But they're all throwing out all of these Eurocentric viewpoints, because that's all they are, Eurocentric viewpoints of this. Now, we've been reading, and I hope you can answer the questions, okay? Who are the 144,000? Well, I mean, we read last week that they are 12,000 from 12 of the tribes of Israel. Now, how many tribes of Israel were there? Do you know that? You don't even know that. I know most of y'all be saying 12. But there was not 12 tribes of Israel. There were more than 12 tribes of Israel. So why is only 12 of them are mentioned in 144,000? Interesting question to be considered and looked at and studied. Okay, let's take an example. In my book, we have these chapters, and we break it on down. Break it on down now. Hey. To different chapters, we try to build to help you to understand who are the children of Israel today. And to understand who the 144,000 are, you got to understand who the 12 tribes of Israel are today. If you don't know who they are today, then you can't find that out. That make sense? You just make these rash conclusions. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. Doesn't matter if you have evidence to back it up. Doesn't matter about anything. Just as long as that's what you believe and teach, or someone told you to believe it through miseducation. Okay, so what we're going to do is let's look at the chapters in this book here. Okay? The chapters will tell you a lot of things, hopefully. And I tried to build a foundation. I knew that was needed. We needed to build a foundation and prepare people for the shock that they would be getting, because they've been lied to for so long they don't even know what truth is. Truth will shock them. And so, let's see. How do we go about this? Now, the first chapter is called Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. So basically, we're covering the rivers, four rivers, laying a foundation before the flood and all that. And then we move forward and jump in time to the last days of Moses. So that's how chapter one is broken down. We go into the 40, it says introduction to the four rivers. Second section in chapter one is the first civilizations. Next one is the four rivers. The next one is the people before the flood were giants. The next section is who are the sons of Elohim. And then we jump into the future. We're dealing with Yahweh's people in the last days. And we start, then we go into will Elohim have a perfected people? Then the next section is who are the 144? That's where we are right now. Now, in this 144, is it talked about in the Bible? Yes. It's talked about in the fulfillment of Daniel's 70-week prophecy. Okay? The essence of Daniel's 70-week prophecy centers around the 144,000. And we're going to discuss that. That's next on our agenda. We'll go into some detail. Then after that, then once the people, because it talks about the perfecting of a people. In Daniel chapter, in Daniel 70 weeks prophecy. Okay. Then we talk about come out of her, my people. So if you live in the last days and you're going to be part of this group, you have to come out from Babylon. You have to come out from these churches, from this European-centric philosophy of existence. I was just reading about Job and about how, the material things he lost, and he didn't lose his, so. Matter of fact, he was stronger with Yahweh than before because of what he went through. And so many of us don't want to go through anything when we go through the Messiah. We think that all of our, ills and all our stuff should disappear. Everything should be smooth. But that's not how it works. Well, like I said, with the perfecting of Job, the 144,000, to prepare them and for them to be perfected, they will be tested like Job. And Job went through really bad things. But see, nobody tells you about that.
They teach the prosperity gospel, again, a European nonsense game. Okay, so let's move forward. So once we've been through with this, it says, come at it from our people. So we have to understand where we are in this thing so that we can come out. I didn't create this text. It says, come at it from my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, for her sins that reach unto heaven, and I will reward her double, even as she has rewarded. And this is Revelation chapter 18. Now, some believe this is the last cry, the loud cry, the last message to be given to a dying world, which it is. No question about it. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give this last message, a last edge of opportunity to prepare for the end of days. Now, after that, then the next section is how has Yahweh been testing his people? So, we remember their first test came to Adam and Eve. Now, remember, we said it wasn't clear. Some people said it wasn't clear to them, but that's fine. That's why we're here. Some of the people I've been speaking with. I was told that when I explained the Adam and Eve being created perfect, and then I explained about Job being perfected, and then I explained about 144,000 being perfected, and that Adam and Eve really wasn't perfect, what I was saying was that Adam and Eve were created perfect. But that don't mean you can stay there, okay? Lucifer, son of the morning, he was created perfect until iniquity was found in him. So he did fall. You can fall from this perfected position. Okay, so that is possible. So Adam and Eve were not fully mature, is the word I like to use, in their perfection. And they fell from it because they wasn't mature enough in it. So the same thing when Yeshua came to planet Earth, he was tested with the fiery trials of the devil. And he came forth as gold tried in the fire. Same thing with Job and so forth. So you have to develop a maturity in this relationship with the Creator. Okay? And since we're already born sinners, and sin did my mother conceive me. Okay, so we're born in this condition. Born with enmity against him. That means we're the enemies of Yahweh in our minds, in our carnal mind, because that's what the carnal mind is, enmity against Yahweh. It cannot subject itself to Yahweh. It doesn't love Yahweh. It cannot subject itself to its laws. It cannot submit. So that's how we're born. So as we go through this, then we find that as he's been testing us, he tested Adam and Eve, they failed. Then everyone else failed because we were the product of a failed couple. So then Yeshua came to rescue us, and then he was tested. And that's where we studied before about the temptations in the wilderness. The first test was appetite, the same place where Adam and Eve fell. That's where Lucifer picked them. And he passed the test. So Yeshua did not fall. So when he moved forward in time, he's been testing and we've been upping and downing and failing. Passing, failing, having troubles because we're in his sinful flesh and this is who we are. So then he says, okay, I have to bring this last group to perfection. So he has to test us in every generation. So the last test, it will be the mark of the beast. Will you buy or sell? Will you be subjected to your appetite? Will it control you? And yesterday, most pastors, the big pastors, have pot belly, overweight, and so forth because they've been eating good, as they would say. That, you know, as we, the Bible says, when we went into the land of milk and honey, he warned us. He said, now listen now, don't y'all go into the land of milk and honey. And then y'all forget me. And that's what we did. But he warned us not for this to happen. So he has to keep testing us and testing us and go through the wilderness and experience and Daniel and the three Hebrew worthies. And then down to the last annals of time where we are. So this is the test we'll be facing. And then I give you the remedy to deal with this raw food diet, to deal with this. The last section is Yahweh's live raw food and its effect on his people so that we can prepare and make our way through this troublous time. Well, at this point, we will take a break. As you can hear from our sponsor.
Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Dental Repair is a dental repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida.
They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Dental Repair at 904-210-6208 for an appointment.
Phenomenal.
thank you for coming back and being part of our study. We appreciate you spending time with us. You know, you can spend time doing anything you want. So I thought of this song that would be good for us to hear. Everybody is searching. This is a song I'll use as my theme. Give me your feedback. You can always go to www.peopleofcolornumeric1.com. Okay. That was the song of searching. And that's what we are doing. So, back to where we were. As we were reading and perceiving what Yahweh would have us to understand. So after that chapter, we pick up with the genealogy of Ham, and that's where we define of who are the descendants of Ham. What is the land of Ham? The Bible talks about the land of Ham. Then we go into specifically the land of the blacks, or the land of Kemet, K-M-T. Back in the olden days, in the ancient times, they didn't use vowels. So when you read about Yahweh, you read Y-H-W-H. There's no vowel. Okay, so when you read about Kemet back in the ancient times, it's K-M-T. Okay, this is the sacred writings back in those days. The hieroglyphics. It's called the sacred letters, the sacred words of Elohim, just as we have today, the word of Elohim. Okay. Then we go into who the sons of Noah, since we know Adam and Eve, who they were. If y'all remember correctly, y'all can answer those questions. Tell me. Then we move to Ham's sons, because Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And so we go into detail of who was Noah's children. Those three. And then we go down one chain of events to find out who were the Africans, who were these people. And we go down the land of Ham, and we find out that Ham had sons, Mizraim, Put, Canaan, Cush. And so we find out from there that the Mizraim was what we call the Egyptians, or the Kemetic people. The people of Canaan is the land of Canaan, where the Bible talks about all the time. They're interacting. And so those are the two characters that you'll mainly run across in some of the major characters, which was the land of Canaan, the Canaanites, the Egyptians. And then you read another group that's called the Cushites. And so those are the Nubians. Okay, those are the descendants of of Adam and Eve. Okay, then you have a fourth one, which is Put, which refers to Libya, northern Africa area. So when you look at those, then we move down and we go into more detail about Cush, chapter 3, the genealogy of Cush. We break down each of the sons in a little more detail. We do, in the genealogy of Ham, we do Put and Mizraim, or the Egyptians, in that chapter. Into them, in chapter 2. Then we go through the Cushites, because they're very important people throughout the Bible. That's the first lands mentioned in the Bible. The land of Mizraim. No, the land of Cush. And the land of Havilah. And these were, you know, Cushites. Okay, then we spend the rest of the Bible, chapter 4. Spends the rest of the Bible talking about the land of Canaan. The genealogy of Canaan. So we go through that so that you can know who these people are. Because the problem is we have these pictures, mental pictures of who these people are, according to the historical documentation We do not have those pictures in the History Channel. We do not have them pictures in the Ten Commandments and any of the texts, hardly of any of the movies that are being shown on TV showing the correct ancestry of these people or these nations and all these nationalities. So then we move forward in chapter 5. We see now that we have a feel of who were the descendants of Ham, who were these Africans, who are these people. Then we go through in chapter 5, the Israelites marry classical African and people of color. So we actually go through chapter by chapter, line by line, verse by verse, over 300 scriptures in this book. Okay, that's talking and showing you what the Bible is saying. And then we show you who they married, so then we prove who they are today. Okay? So this is the gist of the book. Then in chapter 6, we talk about the New Testament believers when Yeshua came around and how Paul was mistaken as an Ethiopian and how the black Madonna and the black baby Jesus, all of these pictures are portrayed in Europe, stolen and hidden away, some of them and some aren't, letting you know that these people were Africans. There's even New Testament believers were these people. Okay? Then when we go through that, then we ask the last that the New Testament believers, chapter 6. Chapter 7 is how does Elohim reach people of color? So how does he go out and reach us since we have fallen from this high position of where we were? Okay? And we have in there some quotes from some of the present day scholars who saying that they, you know, at the end of chapter 6, the last section is called Confessions from the White Society of Biblical Literature. They confess and say that we have misrepresented the people of the Bible. We have misrepresented black people. We have, even though we call ourselves Christian, even though we are one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for only white folk. That's what they should have said, because that's what it is. That they confess and say, we have been part of a conspiracy. And these are white boys saying, I ain't even got to do it. And all I do is quote it and give it to you. You look up the article and check it out yourself. So then we give you references. We give you bibliographies. We give you a glossary so that you can define terms. Because there's terms that we're defining. We're not sure if you're understanding them. Then there's supplemental questions that you can use as a textbook for your community, for your church, your group. And have us come in. Then there's a bibliography and an index for you to be able to search for terms. So, in essence, we were building from one section to the next chapter to help you understand, to answer this question, who? About 144,000. Today. Get that? So, this question should be answered. Like I said, if you don't have the book, go get it. Order it. www.peopleofcolor1.com. So, since we are all searching for light, for truth, we have here, we've read clearly that the 144,000 are from the 12 tribes of Israel. Like I said, there was 14 tribes. Now, you might be saying, oh, Emmanuel, where did you get that from? That's in my book, man. Go check it out, bro. It's in there. There's a chapter on there that there's two extra children of Israel that most people don't even know about or thought about. So what we want you to do is take a break now. We're at that breaking point again. Let's take a small break here so we might hear from our sponsor.
Hello, kingdom dwellers. Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida.
They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for appointment.
Yeah, so what are we doing? Are we searching for the truth? I pray that you are searching, for this is time to search. While this information highway is free and available to all, I praise Yahweh for giving me the opportunity to share worldwide today, worldwide to everyone you might be. So, my question to you is,
are you searching? And if you are, what are you searching for? Who are you? What is your goal in life? What is your purpose for searching? Now, we've been reading here diligently. As we've been going through the book, we've been diligently trying to coordinate that with everybody. And so we have come to the point that it talked about the 144. We gave you a background, so you should know who the 144 are. If you don't, you know,
get the book. Understand.
Okay. Right here in Revelation, turn with you, chapter 14. So we can go a little more, starting at verse 1. And lo, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. See, Zion is spelled sometimes with an S and sometimes with a Z, because its pronunciation is the same. And with him 144,000, having their father's name written in their forehead. Now, last week we discussed about this. About what does it mean to have the Father's name written in your forehead. And why didn't he say you had the Yeshua's name written in your forehead? Why would he say you had the Father's name written in your forehead? Well, that's important. There's a reason. Is as the Father is to be reflected to the world, that's why his name, his life, his character, his existence should be shown to the world. When he created Adam and Eve, that's who was being shown to the world. So that's what he wants to continue to do. And only a certain group of people that reach their maturity reflects that. And Adam and Eve were created perfect, so they reflected that automatically. The rest of us have to develop into maturity in this level. Verse 2 says, and I heard a voice from heaven, the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song for the throne. And before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. So, it said that they sung a new song. Before who? The elders. Before the four beasts. And no man could learn the song. Because it's a song of experience. It's just like as you go through experiences in your life, and it changes you, it develops you, it matures you, it brings you to a point that things you would have thought about when you were immature, you make different decisions as you mature to this higher state of awareness, as I would call it, consciousness, as you become conscious. Okay, I will constantly refer to being conscious because most of us are unconscious, and according to that safe, hello. Right. We have Revelation, Matthew chapter 15, believe it is, let's see, Matthew chapter 25, it talks about the wise and the foolish virgins, but look it up, and five were wise and five were foolish, but all ten of them fell asleep, not five, not the foolish fell asleep, and the wise stayed awake. No. All the wise and the foolish all fell asleep. And so that's the condition that we find ourselves in today. From generation to generation, our parents have been falling asleep and dosed in this drug world of drink, alcohol, as the Bible calls it, that the whole world wanted us to be. The whole world is drunk. So the whole world is drinking the cups of Babylon. Of the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth, the church. So it calls it. Okay.
I'm sorry, I call it ace and ace of spades. But that's what it is. So, here it is another group of people that is reflecting, not the world, but reflecting in their forehead and in their lifestyle and their consciousness. Yeshua, the Father, the Spirit. So his Father's name is written in their forehead. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they were virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Elohim and to the Lamb. Now, here it talks about that we're not defiled by women. Now, woman is not talking about a physical female. It's talking about a female. In the Bible, the church is represented as a woman. So it's talking about that we're not to be defiled. They aren't to be defiled. They have to be unbrainwashed. Because we've been defiled. We've been brainwashed by the church. And so the European pagan Christianity church is what it's talking about. That we will not be defiled by the apostasy, the apostates. And everyone will agree that the church is a total apostasy. I don't think you'll get much confusion from most people about that. The issue is now that they're in apostasy, what do you do about it? If you just sit idly by and do nothing. And say, well, Yahweh, he'll take care of it. No, he ain't taking care of nothing. You want to follow him, you follow him. So, okay. Want to give them your money, give them your money. And it's going straight to the pit of hell. Right? So you can justify yourself in trying to reason around it, but that don't justify. Okay? But that's beside the point. So here we had this woman. Okay? And so these are those who are studying and understanding Yahweh's will and going away from the church. The time is going to come when churches, people in churches are going to say, well, you have been lying to us all this time. And they said that probably was one of the Hebrew. So that's your fault. If you didn't study, that's your fault. Because the Bible tells you, study, show yourself approved, what rightly divided the word of truth. So if you don't study, I don't blame you. You can't blame the pastors for you don't study. Because I'm telling you, you should be studying. And if you don't want to study, so that's your fault. I ask you to buy the books. You don't want the books. Don't buy the books. You want the video. Let's keep being brainwashed. That's your fault. But remember, here it makes mention that these people are not defiled by the churches, by women. Now, most churches won't tell you that because then they'll be saying that you're not supposed to be here listening to what we say. So they won't say that. And if they do, they'll blame it on the Catholic Church. Oh, man, they can't go to that church. Oh, you can't go to the Protestant Church. They can't go to anybody, everything except their entire movement, which has been through the Crusades and the total destruction of this planet. So, then it makes mention that they follow the Lamb with his sword that he goes even unto death. So that's where Yeshua, when he went to death, he was willing to die for us. Are you willing to die for him? So these people have come to that point. These were redeemed from among men, among humans, living people, being the first fruits, and they will be the first fruits of perfection, showing to the world how that people can live on the planet following the Messiah to the end. Now don't forget they have to go through everything. Now, some people would like to believe that you be raptured out of here, you don't have to go through anything. No. Everybody who's going through this has to go through this. Seven plagues, seven seals, seven trumpets, and I think we're about in the third seal for, and people don't know. So, if you think you're going to be raptured before this happens, it's already started. So, you're not raptured, so you can still keep believing whatever you want to believe. Okay, then. It tells us, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Yahweh. So we see that they are no guile, no fault before the throne of Elohim. These people, as they say, happy. Our last break for this session.
dwellers. Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida.
They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for appointment.
Now we're going to read about John, who was searching for something. He was crying and weeping away. In Revelation chapter 5, let's see. What has got John so upset? What has got John weeping and wailing? Revelation chapter 5, we start at verse number 1. And it has to do with the 144,000 and our preparation for this time. Okay? And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is able to open the book and loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. So we see here clearly that there's lots of commotion going on in heaven of what's going on planet Earth and what's about to happen and what is happening and how the masses are just totally confused. Following the wine of Babylon, drunk with the wine of Babylon, following after Israel, after the prince of the power of the air, this spirit of children of disobedience. You think the United States is ever going to straighten up and fly right? You forget that. The Bible says it ain't. Okay? Matter of fact, it will be the image of the beast. It will reflect the image of the beast and bring everyone to its knees. America will bring everyone to their knees. And that's what we're doing around the world, bringing nation after nation, economic struggles and power to their knees, as they commercialize all of this stuff. See, as they commercialize, they are daring, blinding, and wiping the people out. And people don't know. They don't know no better. They just follow along, blind. As the Bible says, the blind leading the blind. And guess what? They both fall into the ditch. So John is crying and weeping because he said, in this book, we need to know what's in this book. This book is going to reveal secrets to us. This book is going to prepare 144. This book is going to prepare, and we can't read it. So he is weeping and wet. Now, let's read on a little bit, just a little bit now. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Okay? So we see here that now he is weeping and is wailing because he sees the imminent destruction of this planet. He sees the imminent destruction of a people. He sees it, and he sees that we are hustling. Not searching, not looking, not trying, but sleeping, drunk with the wine of the wrath of her affliction. And so why is it so important that this book be unsealed so that we might be able to look thereon and know? Why? Simply due to one fact. That, do you know any book that's sealed in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Yes, the book of Daniel. It says that it's sealed until the last day. So, this sealing of the book is the book of Daniel, which was sealed to the end of time. The times that we live in. So anybody said, I don't know about all that, brother. What do you mean? Okay, if you look here in the book of Daniel, you will find different things that the Bible talks about. The sealing of his people. Now, as we already talked about the 144 being sealed, what are we talking about? And it being sealed where in their foreheads with the character of Yeshua the Messiah? We talked about that, right? Mm-hmm. So, inside of the book of Daniel, we see many places. Like, let's look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. "70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression." Now, notice what it says. 70 weeks are determined upon whom? The people in the city. Which people? Well, there's only one person. Basically, we talk about it in the Bible, especially the Old Testament. This is people. African Hebrew Israel. Okay? And to bring in. And so, we have to finish the transgression. We have to end transgression. Is transgression ended yet? No. We can see transgression going on all over the planet. And to make an end of sin, is sin finished? No, we see sin every day of our life. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. Is reconciliation for iniquity complete? It has begun. Yahweh, Yeshua, Messiah came, and he started reconciling us back to him from our iniquity. So that part is started, but it's not ended. Notice what it says. He says to finish the transgression. So he wants to finish. When is the time going to come for finish to make a reconciliation? And to bring in everlasting righteousness. Okay, is everlasting righteousness brought in? Do you see everlasting righteousness reigning on this earth? No. Now some would have you believe that it is, but it ain't. Okay, wickedness is being revealed in this planet. And to seal up the vision. So what he says, he seals, there it is, right there, the sealing of the vision. And the sealing up of the prophecy. So he's doing two things. He's sealing vision of Daniel chapter 9, which is the 70 weeks. He's sealing up the prophecy that's given in the book of Daniel, and to anoint the Most Holy. And then we see here that it's the anointing of the Most Holy. Now, some would say this Most Holy is Yeshua the Messiah, that he was anointed because he was baptized with John the Baptist. But it didn't say to anoint the Most Holy person, it says to anoint the Most Holy. Remember, there was two compartments inside of the sanctuary. You had the outer court, then you had the inner court, and then you have the tabernacle. And inside the tabernacle is divided up into two places, the holy place and the most holy place. So, it's talk about to anoint the most holy. Now, if I believe it's the most holy place, which is in heaven, and the most holy place would be in heaven, as he, as our high priest, ministering to us, for us. You read in the book of Hebrews, he talks about him being our high priest. Since he's our high priest in heaven, according to the book of Hebrews, you only have a high priest only dealing with a person who goes in once a year into the most holy place. So it's only once a year that you can go into the holy place, the most holy place. And that was done once a year for the forgiveness of sins that you've committed and everyone had committed over that year. And so that would correlate with all sins being forgiven for all time frame. He is our high priest, since he was already offered up as our lamb. The lamb battled him to take up away the sin of the world. That's been John announced that at his baptism. Okay, so As we anoint the most holy place, that is the end of probation for all time and for all. Each year you end of probation once a year at the Day of Atonement. Now we're talking about that it's all being wiped out, sin, all the sin, making reconciliation for iniquity. That's what we said. Yes, it will be finished. Transgression would be ended. There will be no more sin. There will be no more sin for Yahweh's people, the end of sin. And this is what the 144,000 bring in. That's what I'm trying to tell you. 144,000. They are the ones that will fulfill this prophecy. Let's read it again. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and thy holy city. So the people are the one for you. It is the African Hebrew Israel. It is the people of Yahweh. Okay? So these people, he said, is determined 70 weeks. And this is Old Testament. He talked to Daniel's people. He talked to no European. He talked to no Gentiles. He ain't talking to them. Okay? So this European Christian pagan religion that we have, he ain't talking to them people. Okay? Talking to his people. And he says, 70 weeks are determined upon you. For what? To finish the transgression. That's when 144 will have reached the point of reflecting Yahweh, where they will finish transgression in their lives. The life will be perfected. We read there will be no guile found in them. They will find faultless before the throne of Yahweh. This is the description of them. And to make an end of sin. Yes, that end of sin would have been fulfilled in their life. They are the first fruits that have reached that point. And that's what it's talking about. And to make reconciliation for iniquity, they have brought back. And they are now preaching the gospel and bringing in people that they can see that, yes, Yahweh is true. And to bring in everlasting righteousness. And in their life will be nothing but righteousness. And you will be able to see what it means to live and reign with the Messiah for 1,000 years. And they will seal up the vision. That's what they did. They just sealed up the vision and sealed the prophecy. All seven of those things they did. And to anoint the most holy place. So the most holy place comes at the end of the sixth seal. Before the seventh seal opens, that Yeshua, the Bible says that the smoke goes up. Let's read it in chapter 15, because chapter 16 is the seven last plagues. So in chapter 15, what is going on in the sanctuary service? Okay, he's talking about all this deep stuff. And I saw a vegetable, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, the seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is still the wrath of them. No, this is the wrath of them. So this is it. This is the last thing. Now, Yahweh's wrath cannot be poured out on the planet as long as Yeshua is our high priest interceding for us. So long as he's interceding for us, then his wrath can't be poured out. But his judgments can, but not his wrath. So notice verse 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten victory over the beast. Okay, now. So this is the 144. Here it is. And over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of elders. So they got the final victory. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of Elohim, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great marvelous are thy works, Yahweh Elohim Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thy King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Yahweh, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. And all nations shall come and worship before thee. Now, when will we worship before Yahweh during 1,000 years? For thy judgments are made manifest. So his judgments have been made manifest through the seven seals, through the seven trumpets. And now his wrath is about to be given under the seventh plague. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven. So there we go. There we have our most holy place being opened. And that's what it says, to anoint the most holy. So this is the point where he's anointing it. Now listen to that. Listen up now. Now, remember, when he anointed it the first time with Moses in the wilderness, Moses came and he anointed it, and he says that the smoke, the Shekinah glory of Yahweh came down and filled the temple with the smoke and the glory of Yahweh. And no one could stand. So all the priests, everybody left. Also, then nobody could be in. So this is what he anointed the most holy. And so that's when he made it, started everything going. Then when Solomon dedicated the temple. He did the same thing, and the Bible says the smoke filled the glory of Yahweh, filled the temple, and no man could stand. So let's see if this happens a third time in heaven. This time. Okay. And the seven angels came out the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of that angel, who lived forever and ever. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of Elohim and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. So here we have it. The same anointing that he had been for in the Exodus, for Moses, the tabernacle. The same anointing of the most holy place that he did for Solomon in the time of the kings, he is now doing in the most holy place at the end of probation on the Day of Atonement, at the end of the cleansing. So here we have it again. So this is the fulfillment. So then after all of these prophets, everything fulfilled, then he anoints the most holy place, so now he can pour out his wrath upon it. You know? Okay, so this prophecy people have taken totally out of position and do not connect it to the 144. They connect it with their history and all of the other foolishness that European governments barbarous nonsense. Okay, but you can believe whatever you want. But now you probably never heard this before, probably never will again. But this is what Yahweh shared with me. And I'm sharing it with you. Like I said, go on over this stuff. So you can be following along as we study. www.peopleofcolor.com. And if I get enough requests, we will put a Bible study series together of all the stuff that we're doing. And y'all can get it. And you can have it written up. You can have all the stuff and you can highlight and all that. Just let me know. I'm just here to feed your needs. So that you might grow up into many women in the Messiah. Yeshua. Amen. And amen. So, this is what we see here. Now, that was a short version there of my little study here on Daniel 70 weeks. And let's go read in the book. Let's see what Daniel 70 weeks really says. Okay, we just talked about the 144. And then now on page 33, the fulfillment of Daniel's 70-week prophecy. Alright, now take out your pens and get ready for some heavy stuff is going down. We too, like Paul, should press, strive toward the mark for the prize of the glory of Elohim. Which is what? Perfection. Let this mind, Matthew says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Yeshua the Messiah. The 144,000 purged themselves into Elohim and his word. Now what do I mean by that? That they purged themselves. It's not they purged themselves, that they allowed Yahweh to purge them of themselves. Your greatest enemy is not the white man. Your greatest enemy is not the government. Your greatest enemy is not the church. Your greatest enemy is not the drug dealer. Your greatest enemy is not the drug pusher. Your enemy is not the devil. Your greatest enemy is yourself. We are our greatest enemy. Because of self, of the sinful flesh that we dwell in, and we talked about Romans 7 before, and this struggle that we're going through, and we're fighting with it, oh man. That's the enemy. So they allowed themselves to be purged through Yahweh's word. And I shared with you before, how can you get purged the word? Read the word every day. Read, let it fill your mind. Fill it with you when you go in the car, put in a CD. When you're walking and you're playing, you're acting, when you're doing your workouts, when you're doing whatever. Fill your mind with the word of Elohim, and it will purge you of yourself into the image of Elohim. Then that's when you grow up. The Bible says that we are children needing to be fed the milk of the word when we should be grown-ups and we should be eating of the meat, they call it. But the meat means food, the solid food of the word. All right? They had the faith to believe that Elohim would live in them. Elohim living in you, recreate you, recreation. Similar to recreation. That's what we're doing when we recreate, when we eat. Let's talk about it for a minute here. Now we talk about sustainability. Okay, so let's get it together here. The Bible said to replenish the earth. Okay, so when you take in raw, live, oxygenated food, as some would say organic, you take this live food into your system. Not dead, not cooked. Raw, alive food in your system. So it gives life to you. Now, you can't eat nothing dead and think it's giving you life. You got to be deceived, because death cannot give life. Only life can give life. Realize that. Okay, so that's first thing. So as you breathe in the oxygen and breathe out the carbon dioxide, there is another phase that oxygen that's going through is cleansing your system, and it pulls the toxins out of your body and dumps oxygen into your bloodstream. And then as you exhale out, it takes the carbon dioxide that has been used up, the oxygen in your system, and pushes it into your lungs and breathes out, so that now the poisons or the waste can be dispersed. Then when we go to the bathroom, we urinate it out and we bowel it out. That's another way of form of passing all of these things. It's like you breathe in, you pass out the carbon dioxide. Now as you eat, then you pass out of your body also. When you drink, then you pass it out through your urinary tract. So all of this stuff he has given to give us life and the habit for body, so that he can recreate in us a new heart. And a new body. Now we can think and realize that we do not have to travel. We do not have to follow the beast. We do not have to follow the standard American diet, SAD, the sad diet. We can follow Yahweh's diet. And then raise them up so that he could reflect his image in and through them. The creation was finally able to bring part of the human race back to its original plan, restoring the human soul back to its original state of being, perfection. So that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the 144 who is allowing all of this to happen as they press toward the mark of the high calling in Yeshua the Messiah. As they reach this state of being, as they become conscious, as they understand the walk with the Messiah. So this was done through the 144,000 as they yielded their lives to Yahweh. This is the fulfillment of Daniel's 70th prophecy that was established or determined upon the biblical African Hebrew Israel. For more information on Daniel's 70-week prophecy, visit our website, www.peopleofcolor1.com, and join us in these studies. According to the Bible, this will make them also the first fruits or the first perfected group of people after the fall. So I had searched the scriptures myself, searching, 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 to see if there was anywhere in the Bible where Yahweh had perfected his people. And I could not find it. A generation, come on, more than just a Moses, more than just a Joshua, more than just a Daniel, more than just a David, more than just a Ezekiel. And I was just searching, 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 and could not find it. Until finally I ran across a path that made me think, wow, why? How could Moses, how could Adam and Eve have children and they not reach perfection after knowing what their parents had said? But we did have one before the flood, Enoch, who understood and marched toward the moon. So that was one individual. Then when we moved down the line, we kept on going until, and I asked the question, why Moses is son? Moses had son, why did his son follow him? Why did they go forth? And then as I think back and I look at Malcolm and I look at King and I look at so many people, I realized that, wow, what happened to their children? What happened to their boys, their girls? How come they didn't cut the mantle and walk, kept walking? Wow. Or why didn't their wives pick up the mantle and walk? So it just perturbed me. Just like, wow, what is going on? You got these people walk so closely, well, how come the next generation don't? And then I realized Samuel, you know, as a kid, he accepted Yahweh, and Yahweh came to him in a vision and came to him and talked with him, so forth, and he was good. He set up the first king. He wept and wept over him because Yahweh knew that there should be a king, but he gave it to him anyway. And then when his sons turned, they said that they were just, you know, stealing the people's food and their money. And he was like, wow, how could your sons wind up like this? So it's disturbing, too. So, obviously, I started thinking and looking back and searching, 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 searching. And I ran across and said, wow, how about in my family? What is going on here? So I do remember my dad. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a teacher. But he was in church all the time helping people. He was the mechanic. He could fix their cars. He could fix the truck. He fixed the van, he picked people up, he do all that stuff. And they were kicked out of the church, not just him, but him and people, and Sister Williams and the Chambers and other people. And I remember, as they got kicked out, you know, they were trying to search. They were trying to see what Yahweh was trying to do for them. And then I looked and I realized that, you know, that Sister Williams had a gift, the gift that she could heal. And so she would heal people, and people would get healed. And then I would say, okay, now, wonderful, now we got these people following her, and they had, you know, grown into a church. And she was in so much pain, and she was saying, people don't want to follow her. They don't want to follow Yahweh. They don't want to do what she's. And I'm like, wow. And remember, I'm just a little kid, maybe 7, 8 years old, 10, 12, I don't remember what age. But we lived up under the piano. Every weekend we would get together. We'd get together Friday night and pray and eat and get together Saturday and pray and read. And we'd be there and we'd eat together. And we'd be under the piano because we're little kids and everybody praying and fasting, praying and reading all day. So that's the environment I grew up in, studying home church, I guess you could call it, whatever you want to call it. So I remember clearly the healing and all the stuff that was going on. And I remember one of the pastors, I think they said how they got kicked out of church, that there was one pastor, and he would take them all the time. This is in Brooklyn Tabernacle, I guess. Anyway, and they went, and the pastor saw the gift, and he would have them whenever they went to pray for somebody. They always had Sister Williams pray, and the person would get healed. So he knew that that's what he needed. Then they moved him, and then another guy came in. And there were people jealous, you know, jealousy fits in the church. And they were jealous, and they told the man, don't let these people, they're rebels, and this, that, and the other. So they kicked them out of the church with the new pastor. Well, that's the way life goes. So, well, I grew up in that environment that we know the truth, you know, studying all day. And so, anyway, when It was time for me to search when I grew up and went to college, and I'm searching. I run across the church and I go in it. I said, what are y'all doing in here? What are y'all doing? I said, man, this is apostasy. One guy came in, shh. I said, these people are apostasy. These people are asleep. Don't they realize that? He said, shh. Man, you can't say that out loud. And we have Bible studies, he said. You know, we have to do underground Bible studies. You can come to my house and we'll do, right? I'm saying, underground Bible studies in the church? Why would you have underground Bible studies? Because the people are in apostasy. The people are asleep. They don't want to hear the truth. So the only people that want to hear the truth is when they go to Sabbath school lesson, or when they go at night, when they go on the Sabbath, and they do. And I'm like, wow. You tell me that's how it works? So that's how it works, my brother. So I was shocked. And so he told me to go to this church, and I did, and to Martin Luther Church, Martin Luther King Avenue, the Tabernacle Church in Washington, D.C. Yeah, I can tell you who they are. And so we did the same thing. We were fasted and praying, so we had a little Bible study group. It was like four or five of us, Sister Joyce and Sister Marks and Sister Spears and Brother Dixon. So we would get together, we would study, and we learned about, you know, fasting and praying. We learned the cleansing program, the oxygen therapy. And so we were like, wow, this is good, man. And so we would fast every time we had finals and exams, and we'd be popping A's and B's. And that's how I got through graduate school and undergraduate school and scholarship, doing these 21-day clinic program, which I've been sharing with you guys. Hopefully you guys are joining. But that's your call. So my point was, so I said, now this next generation, man, they had gone somewhere. So I went back to the church, and she was 80-something years old or 90 or something. She eventually died. And I said, now who's taking her spot, man? We got to move this on. They said the church disbanded. You hear me? There was no one to take the lead. And I said, wow, this is insanity. I mean, how could people grow? They were there for at least 40 years. 40 years. You hear me? 40 years. And the people still did not touch the message. There was nobody there. So I self-appointed myself to continue to work. So I'm just trying to pass on from one generation to the next generation of what I learned as truth to share with all of you. So that you might do the same thing. And so, you know, when I joined the church, I got kicked out too. Tabernacle, they kicked me out. Instead of teaching heresy. Yeah, teaching heresy because you can heal and I believed in the gifts. Yeah. I said, okay, whatever. But it was basically my time to go. So Yahweh just picked up and told me I had to leave. And I didn't listen to Yahweh. Yahweh said, well, since you're not going to leave the church, you're going to be kicked out. Well, you're going to have to be kicked out because you've got to leave, because there's nothing more they can help you here. You don't understand that they're going to put you to sleep. You're going to be a lay on the ceiling, but you know, you can't see nothing. So you got to leave. So I just kicked out. So our little group started, and we kept it going, and my sister and my sister-in-laws and all the rest of them, Brother James and Brother Curtis. And so that's what they've been doing for years for their children and next generation, Brother Clifton, the McKinney's, everybody, the Downs. We've had lots of people come to the Brother White and his family, so, and the Jacksons. So all these people came through, and they developed and they grew. And I went, you know, got my master's in engineering, went down to the South and then came back and went to the Pennsylvania and taught people all over, taught people in all these different places, same thing. And so I remember one group, toward the Frederick, and you have one guy who's now an assistant pastor. Name is Drew. We have one who's a bishop of the Church of God. Name is Pastor Wilson. We have another, one of his daughters. She's a pastor, and she runs her church. We have Joan Hall, Pastor Joan Hall, she runs her church. So all of these different things that we did was beneficial, and it blessed the people. So I said, you know, I see the fruits of my doing, of Yahweh's work. So the point was, we developed our kids. We taught them. We homeschooled them. We was on raw food diets. We were cleansing program, we were, you know, doing all these different things. And I asked my next generation, I asked my children, I said, what y'all gonna do, man? This is the third generation. Now they can see through all this nonsense. They, you know, they're conscious. They said, man, we're not joining these churches. These churches are worthless. These churches are apostasy. So I said, okay, fine, but what are you going to grow spiritually? How are you going to develop? How are you going to help your people? How? And so that's a question that's still out there. How do we continue the message from generation to generation? How does this happen? That's my confusion. But for some strange reason, this 144,000 will come forth. And there's nothing nobody can do to stop them. So, I pray as we come back, you know, next week we'll finish up on the fulfillment of Daniel 70's meat prophecy. Like I said, we listen to it, go out, try to understand and share with your people. Because there is an experience that you can have. I've had. Others have. So please don't give up. Yahweh is still on the throne. And he ain't playing. He don't fool around with people. People might fool around with him. But he does not fool around with them. So he is giving us a chance. He's giving us a chance that we might be able to do whatever he calls us to do. So the question is, what will we do? What are we going to do? Are we going to be searching? Are we going to continue to move forward in the light of his word? Or are we going to sleep and drink of the wine of Babylon? We have to determine. We have to choose our destiny. And I just, sometimes weep and pray, but we'll be next. May Yahweh bless us and keep us. May his wonderful grace pour upon us. And may he give us peace. May he teach us, what does it mean to search? Will you search? How long will you search? We should be searching all of our lives. So what will be your tale? What will you do? Yes, as we conclude. Are you searching? Amen. Search. Sing that song all day long. Searching what is right, and what's wrong is wrong. Searching. Search. So please, search with me. Amen.